It's the most expensive military program ever, and the most durable. The F-35 Joint Strike Fighter has survived administration after administration, but because of continuing uncertainty over how many copies the military will buy each year, it's hard to predict the total cost. For analysis, Tom Temin spoke with Chris Taylor, the CEO of the market research firm Gavini.
And you've done some pretty extensive data analysis on this whole program. And looking ahead at 2018 for the F-35, what are your chief findings?
So I think the first thing we found was that the unit costs do continue to go down. To what extent they go down will be solidified by the international order, the economic order quantity that will ultimately be agreed upon. They have been going down since 2013, So from that, we've seen a lot happier people to see these unit costs go down. Although the prediction was about $85 million per aircraft, we think Lockheed will get down to $80 million per aircraft.
And that's what they figure they can live with to go to the 2,000 or 2,400 they expect to eventually sell?
That's correct. If we can get the numbers that they need to sell to be certain of unit price, we'll get all the way down to $80 million per aircraft.
And how does that happen? I mean, how does the price go down each year? We know that it does, and the Pentagon talks about it a lot. Is it learning curve in manufacturing, or is it increased volumes for the parts, or a combination thereof?
Yeah, it's certainly a combination thereof. Whenever you undertake a project of this magnitude, you tend to get smarter every day. And so from that, combined with certain orders so that we can predict the unit cost, those two facts combined alone can help us predict a lower cost.
And we often talk in terms of, well, this is a Lockheed program as the prime contractor, but as you've pointed out, it's many, many companies.
Well, sure. It's actually two different contracts. Lockheed has the plane, and United Technologies through Pratt & Whitney have the engines. As you notice in the report that we released, in fact, on average, across all three variants of the F-35, Lockheed retains about 27% of the aircraft, with other companies at 16 and 17%, and then, of course, Tier 2, Tier 3, and Tier 4 suppliers thereafter.
And what about the performance of it? I mean, is it mostly fixed because there were continuing problems with the airframe itself, with the engine had issues, it would bend, and then, of course, the software problems are legion.
Every day, smart people get together to solve the problems based on flight experiments. Certainly, the data coming in from the pilots who are flying the F-35 is invaluable, and the program managers and engineers go back to work. Right now, it's really a software challenge, but they continue to get solve these hard problems. You can imagine this being the next generation strike fighter being run on software requires a whole bunch of work, a whole bunch of experimentation, and a lot of data feedback.
Just run down for us what the quantities are for 2017 and what you're predicting the quantities will be for 2018.
Well, the overall quantities are about 2,440. You may have noticed the Pentagon just released an early order to buy more aircraft, and that was to help stabilize unit costs going forward. There's three variants, the F-35A, which is the conventional takeoff and landing, the F-35B, which is short takeoff and vertical landing, the Marine Corps version, if you will, and then the F-35C, which is the carrier variant, predominantly for the Navy, but the Marine Corps is also buying some of those variants. And so across those three, we get the 2,443 number. And then within that sale to the services, we also are waiting on the international economic order quantity sale to service eight international partners.
We're speaking with Chris Taylor, the CEO of Gavini. And if you would, just tell us the type of data analysis that you did, because I think Gavini has a somewhat different approach than a lot of other researchers to discovering facts about programs.
Sure. So what we did for this particular project was we every day ingest about 4,000 different sources of federal budget and spending information. We mash that up, and it helps us create a view of particular programs, in this case, the F-35. Additionally, what we did to get to the detail of Tier 2, 3, and 4 suppliers is we, over the last 15 years, ingested every Defense Daily announcement, did the analysis on those announcements to get us to have a clear view of who is actually involved in the aircraft, to what extent, and at what cost. It's a little different approach. Most people like to take a budget approach because that's easy for them to go find. We like to follow the money to see who's spending what, where, and in what quantities. Those two bits of information, both budget and spend, led us to the numbers that you see in the report today.
And one of those numbers I thought interesting, a moment ago you said that Lockheed retains 27% of the work share in a given plane. But then the next two competitors, Northrop Grumman and BAE Systems, each get a good 17%. So this is really a kind of a democratic across the contracting spectrum type of program.
Well, let's make no mistake about it. This is the most complicated aircraft that we've created for our services. It requires lots of expertise. It requires lots of teamwork. And Lockheed, for as much as the F-35 has been celebrated and maligned, they have gotten the cost down to where they need to be and where they will settle. And most importantly, it's a tough project. Let's not ignore the fact that this is a hard, tough platform that's being developed. And I hope going forward that people will root their arguments in the facts of today, not the memories of yesterday.
And I guess that's probably true of every groundbreaking aircraft ever really developed, if you look back in history. But I wanted to ask you also, the Trump administration's 2018 proposal would remove $2 billion in procurement funding for this aircraft. And Congress may or may not go along. We won't know probably till Christmas time. But if that were to prevail, that $2 billion cut, how could that affect the program?
That's also in conjunction with adding almost $1 billion to the R&D function for the aircraft. So I think what it might be, and we'll see what Congress decides upon, is there are other things that need to be settled from a research and development perspective before we can ramp up fully the procurement piece of this. I think we're still going to see all of the aircraft procured. I think the timeline might shift a little to the right, perhaps, although with the most recent order that was brought forward, that may just offset all of that in its entirety. At the end of the day, we're really waiting to see what the international economic order quantity will be, because that will really allow us to lock in prices going forward.
So that $2 billion reduction in procurement and $1 billion increase in R&D, that's not something the Trump administration made up. It sounds like that's what the Pentagon had wanted.
Well, I think it's what has been discussed. And as you astutely pointed out, we'll see if Congress agrees with that discussion going forward.
That's Chris Taylor, the CEO of Gavini, talking with Federal News Radio's Tom Temin. We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.